Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. And we're very pleased to welcome Charles Burton of the McDonnell Laurier Institute, writing most recently at the Dorchester Review, a comprehensive summary of the history of China since the 19th century, built around what is it that the Chinese Communist Party saw early days in the second and third decade of the 20th century, that it is used to rise to power and maintain power and now project power. Charles, a very good day to you. Thank you for this essay, but I want to focus on one immediate story right now because we're on the eve of APEC. And we're told Xi Jinping will attend, and we're told there will be a conversation with Joe Biden, and we're told that Beijing is looking for accommodation, hence the polite words in the visit of the Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese after pummeling Australia for several years, having to do with the resentment China felt because Australia wanted to know about the origins of COVID. But that was then. This is now. What is it that Xi Jinping means when he talks about Chinese ethnicity? What does that have to do with the predation that China visits on its neighborhood and on the world? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, I think that this idea of Chinese ethnicity is a relatively newly invented concept because, you know, the people that we identify as Chinese are of Han ethnicity. The identification of the word Chinese with an ethnic group and with a country is confusing. But the new Chinese ethnicity comprises everybody in the People's Republic of China, regardless of their actual language group or ethnic origin. So it is conflating the Tibetans, the Uyghurs, the Mongolians, and all of the other. Well, China's identified 56 ethnicities in China into the great Chinese people who are supposed to be assimilated into the Han culture and aspirations for global domination. What it also means is that foreign citizenship for persons who even have, you know, one drop of Chinese blood is canceled out by the fact of being ethnically Chinese and therefore loyal to the purposes of the Chinese Communist Party. So, you know, Canadian passport holders in Hong Kong are not described as Canadian citizens, but as Hong Kong Chinese with Canadian passports. So it's impossible, I guess, sort of like the mafia, to not be seen as part of the great Chinese nation if you have any kind of blood connection to the People's Republic of China, and you're expected to serve that government against the loyalty to the citizenry of your passport. So, you know, that would suggest espionage or supporting Chinese political purposes in foreign countries. So it puts persons of Chinese origin in a very difficult position because they're expected to comply with directives from Beijing when, you know, most of them left China because they wanted to have a new life in the free world and don't identify themselves as loyal to that Chinese communist regime.
Gordon, you have a question for Charles.
Charles, you mentioned the 56 ethnicities. One of them is Han. Han are supposed to constitute something like 92% of the Chinese population. And there's something called Han nationalism. What is Han nationalism?
Well, I think that this is really what Mr. Xi refers to as the community of the common destiny of mankind. And it picks up with a resentment basis that, you know, that China under ancient times was the sole legitimate political entity on the planet. The emperor was the son of heaven and had a spiritual connection with supernatural forces. And the emperor was the legitimate political authority for the entire planet. I mean, they recognized that there were some peoples in faraway places that were too uncivilized for the emperor to send officials to regulate. But in general, that China is the only legitimate source of political authority. And so I think the new Han nationalism is based on this, that China should become the global hegemon in the context of Mr. Xi's assurance that the United States is in decline and that all nations of the world will become subordinate to Beijing. And part and parcel of this is the Belt and Road Economic Program, which is a reorientation, you know, of international infrastructure, where all the belts and roads end in China, which would be the center for economic power in addition to political and military power under Mr. Xi's fantasy of the superiority of the Chinese race and the inevitability of China becoming the center of political authority to which all of us would be subordinate.
Charles, does Chinese ethnicity, this idea of we're all one, does that replace Marxism and communism and the shibboleths of the last century?
Well, I think that, you know, one can see that there was an instrumental use of Marxist doctrine for Mao to revive traditional Chinese norms of, you know, the son of heaven and the domination of the Han people. So, you know, they expelled the foreigners from China and tried to establish China as the center for the Communist International, you know, feeling, suggesting that the Soviets had abandoned the communist norms and had engaged in capitalist revisionism. So I think that there was a notion under Mao that China would become the dominant power of the planet in the context of the end of nation states and the triumph of utopian communism. Once the ideology was abandoned because it failed so badly in the 60s and 70s with famine and economic disruption, what you're left with is a Chinese Communist Party that's not so much communist, but really more Chinese, or in Han, in other words, with the same aspiration to global domination, but without the ideological justification for it. Marxist ideological justification for
it. So this is the Chinese Nationalist Party then?
I think so, yes. I think that there's always, for a long time, there's been consideration, well, before Mr. Xi, of abandoning the word communist in the name of the party, and what they would call it, remains to be determined. Some suggestion that it should be considered Confucian, because Confucius's ideology, as interpreted by the Chinese Communist Party, would justify a Chinese-led global order with a superior Han race and a superior Han culture, regulating all of us inferior, lesser cultures that are decadent and in decline and divided by, you know, democracy and separation of powers between executive, legislative, and judicial branches in the Chinese system. The emperor, or Mr. Xi, by his virtue, regulates everything.
Gordon, we have less than a minute if you have a quick question.
So, Charles, can China actually reconcile Marxism and this notion of worldwide imperial rule?
There is a TV series where Marx and Confucius meet and talk to each other in China today. It's not very good viewing. But no, I don't think so. I think Marx is on the way out, because, unfortunately, Marx was not Han Chinese. So, I think his doctrine has had its instrumental use, but will fade away, according to Mr. Xi, when we all become subordinate to Xi Jinping thought for socialism with Chinese characteristics in the new era, which is really nothing as good reading as Das Kapital.
Charles Burton, writing at the Dorchester Review, The Master Race, Han Chinese. Where have we heard that before? Gordon Chang, I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.